welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about Minnesota's Purple Heart recipients, Veterans Day on the Hill, and what it takes to join today's military. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Minnesota's Camp Ripley can be a busy place during the summer, few times more so than when the Minnesota National Guard youth and teen camps arrive. This one-of-a-kind kids' camping experience is open to dependents, nieces, nephews, brothers, sisters, and grandchildren of current and retired Minnesota National Guard members. Through activities like orienteering, swimming, canoeing, and other team-building events, these volunteer-led camps help kids build confidence and understand why their Guard member serves. For more information on the Minnesota National Guard youth and teen camps, please visit mngyc.org. That's mngyc.org.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now from the Minnesota Army National Guard's Recruiting and Retention Battalion is their commander, Lieutenant Colonel Ed Suarez. Colonel, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Sir, I believe it's been quite a few years since you were here, and you had a different command at that time in charge of, was it Family Services and the L Ribbon programs?
That's correct. It's been a long time. You're right, Tom.
So, sir, Lieutenant Colonel, you're getting up there in rank. How many years have you been in the military?
Just hit 29 years this past January.
You don't look any worse for the wear, sir. You're doing good.
Yeah, the military keeps you young.
Colonel, I understand that you initially went into active duty in about 1989 and had some pretty good duty, a part of the International Pistol Team.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's interesting. In fact, that was the reason why I joined the military. My father got me started when I was 16 years old and got me involved in a sport that I never thought I would see coming. And it led to bigger and better things. And sure enough, the Army was looking for people to fill their team, and they recruited me right into the U.S. Army Marksmanship Unit. So,
and sometime after that, you went through ROTC at the University of Minnesota.
I did, yeah. Once I finished active duty in 93, my wife and I and Jennifer decided to come back to the Midwest, and we looked to the ROTC program at the University of Minnesota, and I went ahead and joined there and pursued a degree in architecture while I was there.
And while you've been a member of the Minnesota Army National Guard, I understand you've been deployed three times, including once to Bosnia, and then shortly after that, you're on that longest ever 22-month deployment.
Yeah, it is. We look back on that experience, and I don't have any regrets at all. Very long deployment, a lot of challenges for myself and for the family, but a lot of rewards for that deployment as well.
And then following that, you got to kind of finish up the deployments by going back to Kuwait and helping draw down our military when they were moving out of Iraq. That had to be a really good deployment and a good feeling by all the reports we got from Colonel Kurska and everyone else. Millions of miles traveled and brought everybody home safe.
No, I was fortunate to be surrounded by some wonderful men and women in our battalion. The 101-94 out of Brainerd, who I was with at the time as their operations officer. So really blessed to have a great crew around me and made the deployment go much easier for me.
And Colonel, now you're the commander of the Minnesota Army National Guard's Recruiting and Retention Battalion. Pretty important. Every year we have a number of soldiers retiring at the end of their careers. You can't constantly have to bring in new members, don't you?
We do. It's a normal turn of events for the Minnesota National Guard, for all states for that matter. You've got a number of folks that finish their enlistments or retire, like you say. And on the other side of the house, we have to start bringing new soldiers back in to fill those ranks.
And, sir, you've probably got NCOs scattered all over Minnesota, but I understand you get to bring them all together a couple times a year.
We do. We do. You know, it's interesting. We have a number of professionals across the entire state. I have about 90 recruiters right now conducting the mission across the state in all four corners, and we put a lot of our reliance and faith in their ability to communicate the mission of the National Guard and the opportunity presents itself. And you're right, twice a year we get together to bring the battalion together. And this March we have our annual winter mid-year conference coming up at Cragen's, and then at the end of the year in August we also meet up at Camp Ripley as well.
Great place to have it. Dutch Cragen's a real good friend of the military, and he was a Korean War veteran, and he sure likes to put on a nice dinner for the recruiting command every year.
Absolutely.
We're speaking to Lieutenant Colonel Ed Suarez on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, you have a kind of a unique command. As we said, your NCOs and your personnel are scattered all over Minnesota because they have to recruit all over Minnesota, And so you've kind of got a built-in communications problem, I would think, that you have to solve.
Well, we do and we don't. You know, I have a – here's what I've learned. You know, this isn't the command that I thought I would have 5 years ago. But last year it was the command that I went after. I realized that I was looking for something new and challenging. And so with that came the difference in this battalion versus other battalions in the state. And so that said, we do. It's a challenge in how we manage all these folks. But I have some wonderful, incredible leaders in the battalion, and we empower those people to manage their teams accordingly. So while there is a communications challenge, the leadership at all levels of command help make this mission possible.
And, Colonel, it's my understanding that over the last number of years, I don't know exactly how many, Minnesota's ahead of the curve on a nationwide basis because we've got more soldiers than we really need. You're able to recruit and find good young candidates and fill the pipeline.
We do. Well, we're very proud of the battalion's legacy. In the last 16 years, we're still the number one recruiting battalion and across all 54 states and territories. So very proud of that legacy, but it comes with a lot of hard work. And so every year has its unique challenges in recruiting the very best Minnesota has to offer, and this year is no different.
So you've got a heavy chair to fill there because you've got to bring in a lot of good quality young people that are be the leaders of tomorrow.
That's correct. In fact, this year we had to recruit 1,550 new soldiers to fill the ranks for those who are leaving their current enlistments.
That's a pretty big number, Colonel. You've got a lot of work to do every year.
Yes, we do. It's unique because the previous years have been a smaller number, but with the National Guard and the rest of the Army growing, we're growing here in Minnesota, so our number is quite a bit larger than last year.
Colonel, are you getting some feedback? What are our young people in Minnesota saying about the Minnesota Army National Guard? They've grown up hearing about deployments, many deployments, since September 11, 2001. Are they concerned about those deployments? Do they want to participate in them?
Well, I have no doubt those conversations come up during the interviews with my recruiters and the recruiters and as well as the parents in the sit down those kitchens or living rooms in our people's homes across Minnesota. So, yeah, it does come up. It's not always the focus of the conversation, but the recruiters are pretty honest, straightforward, understanding that this is part of the opportunity Minnesota has to provide, that it comes with sacrifice and opportunity at the same time, and certainly the chance you may have to deploy is certainly a possibility.
Yeah, pretty high. Colonel, we heard when we started the show some 8 years ago that there were still some families that were saying, you know, we joined the Guard, but we didn't think we had to deploy. But most of those last 8 years, I've asked the question over and over again. I think every soldier knows that deployment is part of being a member of the Minnesota Army National Guard because it's part of what they do. And the feedback I get from some of your NCOs and some of your officers are, they want to go on the deployments because that's part of the path to promotions, it's part of the path to experience, it's part of being a soldier.
I think it's part of just the way the National Guard is now. I think General Academy, who's the director of the National Guard, calls it the Guard 4.0. I think this is just how the Guard is now structured as an operational reserve. We support and augment the active duty's ability to do their mission. So naturally, it's a state mission, it's a federal mission, and deployments and increased training operations tempo is part of it.
And, Colonel, I would imagine that there are a lot of specialty jobs, MOS as you call them in the Army, we call them AFSC in the Air Force, but a lot of specialties that you have to fill in order to balance off the needs of the National Guard.
We do. You know, there's a natural turnover just in the normal basic MOSs, you know, your mechanics, your infantry, your armor and whatnot. We're also looking for specialty MOSs such as those folks in the intelligence field and communications as well. We have a little higher turnover on those fields because they're typically those folks have a lot of opportunities in the civilian sectors, so we don't generally keep as long as we'd like to. But we do have some efforts this year in trying to fill those ranks as well.
And, Colonel, technology has changed everything in the last decade or two, so that's got to be a high priority for you, people that are comfortable with IT and comfortable with technology.
Well, we're definitely looking for applicants to score very hard on the entrance exam, the ASVAB exam, and those folks are prime candidates for those more challenging and technical MOSs.
Colonel, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about some of those specialty fields that you're working on in order to fill the spots needed. We're talking with Lieutenant Colonel Ed Suarez, the commander of the Minnesota Army National Guard's Recruiting and Retention Battalion on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Lieutenant Colonel Ed Suarez, who's the commander of the Minnesota Army National Guard's Recruiting and Retention Battalion, who is charged with replacing all the soldiers that retire each year. And, Colonel, you said that was about 1,500 per year.
That's right. This year, 1,550 is the number.
So you've got a lot of people to replace that will become the leaders of tomorrow, both NCOs and officers. And I'm sure that you've got a lot of data on just what specialties or what jobs are available that are most important. Can you share some of those jobs with us, sir?
Well, first and foremost, right now we have a $20,000 enlistment bonus being offered for the top 10 MOSs we're looking for in the Minnesota National Guard right now. And that ranges from infantry to mechanics and a variety of different MOSs. And those things can change depending on the time of year. But the key thing is we're offering incentives now to recruit the very best Minnesota has to offer. We're also looking for those specialty unique MOSs, specifically in the Signal Corps, looking at folks with communication technology, network operations, information assurance, electronic warfare, cybersecurity are some key skill sets in that area. Also looking for folks in military intelligence, right? And this requires people who have the ability to analyze information. These folks are the ones that determine enemy capabilities, vulnerabilities, and whatnot. These folks have a longer advanced individual training, usually 16 weeks, and both these fields require a much higher entrance exam score on the Army's ASVAB score.
So for our listeners out there, MOS stands for Military Operational Specialty, and it's one of those acronyms that the Army likes to use. All the services like to use acronyms, but, Colonel, we're trying to stay away from those just a little if we can. And now you've said that in some of those specialties that you're really trying to attract, if you can find people that have high enough scores and are capable of doing those jobs, you not only can add them, but they get a bonus for signing up. And how long is the enlistment that they have to sign up for if they sign up in one of those specialties?
It's 6 years.
Get? 6 years.
6 years.
And through that 6 years, at some point they're going to go to basic training.
They will. They'll go to basic training and their advanced training, depending if they're a junior in high school or a senior in high school. If you're a junior, they do it with a split option. They'll go to basic training between their junior and senior year in the summer. They'll graduate high school, and then the summer afterwards, they'll finish their advanced individual training, or AIT.
Well, that's a pretty good program, isn't it?
It is. Well, we recruit about 65% of our enlistments are all high school juniors. It's unique to Minnesota. We spend a lot of energy and effort in looking at those particular kids in that age group, and we value the fact we have some great relationships in our high schools that allow us to do that.
And, sir, we talked a little bit in the first segment about the fact that some people join and they want to stay for a career, such as you. But the important thing is, if you're interested in one of these job specialties and you're thinking you might be interested in the military, if you sign up for that initial term, you can get that education and you can see if you like it. And then at the end of 6 years, if it's fun and you'll enjoy the family that you've built with the military, then you've got an opportunity to continue, get promoted, and go on to earn a nice retirement.
No, the rewards get better and better the longer you stay in. Certainly your initial list, but you can take advantage of your college benefits and your health insurance benefits, to name a few. But those who stay longer start looking at the benefits of retirement, and that's where the real rewards are, because now you have those lifelong enduring benefits beyond your initial enlistment.
Sir, we had an officer on a couple months ago, and he said when he first joined, it was a car payment. You'd go to the monthly training, and you'd put in your weekend, and you'd earn enough to pay for the car. And after a few years, kind of liked it, and he started to get promoted, and he started getting deployed, and pretty soon he was full-time, and now he's trying to close out a career. So things do evolve and things change, and I think the important thing is if you're inclined to check it out, maybe you should give it a try.
Yeah, well, look, those 6 years go by so quickly. When you're 17, 18 years old, the 6 years of your life go by so quickly. And I think you're right. I think after that first opportunity is completed, they soon realize that there's a lot more to offer in the military, and they have the option to continue.
And you meet a lot of friends.
You do. You build a family or a rapport, lifelong friends. It's true. The military is an extension of your family in many respects, because you can't complete the journey without having someone by your side. And you'll find that the people in your unit, in your platoon, your squad, they're with you all the way.
And, sir, from my side of life, being that I was in the military 40 years ago, all I have to do when I meet someone new is find out they're a veteran. We've already got something in common. So exactly. We've got a reason to chat a little bit and develop a relationship. Yeah. It's a great deal.
It is, and it never ends.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Ed Suarez, the commander of the Minnesota Army National Guard's Recruiting and Retention Battalion on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, I understand that over the last number of years, diversity has been the buzzword of trying to make sure that the Minnesota Army National Guard, the complexion of the Guard, matches the complexion of the people that live in Minnesota. Now, on the face of it, that sounds easy. But if you're charged with doing that, how do you do it?
Well, we do it a number of ways. One is we're trying to diversify our own recruiting force, and I'd say in the last 18 to 24 months, we've done a pretty good job in recruiting. The same folks we're trying to represent in our communities are now part of my team. And secondly, it's actually easier than you think, Tom. It's just about having the recruiter develop relationships in those communities and those high schools and being in those areas where those different diverse groups live and live in their communities. And it really comes down to that. Putting that opportunity in front of those individuals is how it all begins.
So if you have a general idea of what you want to do, if you want to recruit some Native Americans, you go to their schools. If you want to recruit some Hispanics, you go to where they go to school, and so forth, and just present the opportunity. The military is not for everybody, is it?
No, it's not. But there's one common thread, and that is all these young men and women are looking for an opportunity. If it's tied to education, if it's tied to a leadership experience, it's common throughout.
And you've got lots of opportunities, lots of training. We talk about that almost every show in here, training, training, training. Make sure they're ready. Make sure if they're called up to duty, make sure whatever happens, they're ready for it, and they can go out there and go side by side with their battle buddy and get the job done and get home safe.
Absolutely.
Sir, we talk now about you need to fill some jobs. You need to make sure that the force is diverse. Are you also charged with trying to find new warrant officers, too?
We have a dedicated warrant officer and officer mission. We're actually trying to make 136 new officers this year. And so it continues to be a challenge, but we do it in a number of ways. We actually recruit within our own ranks. We're looking for those sergeants and staff sergeants who have some experience behind them, and they could do it a number of ways. They could pursue an ROTC opportunity at their local university. They could look at our state officer candidate school up in Camp Ripley. There's also an accelerator program. We can also look for those folks that have some experience behind them. And lastly, we also look at recruiting brand new folks right off the street who can go to federal OCS at Fort Benning. So there's four different ways we can look at growing the officer force here in Minnesota.
So there's really a lot of opportunity. And if any of our listeners want to find out more information, how do they go about it, sir?
Well, it's really simple. You just have to go to nationalguard.com/Minnesota. And it's pretty easy. Once you log onto the page, it's a place you can type in your name and your address and your zip code. It'll link right to a recruiter, and you'll get a response back in about 12 to 24 hours. And again, that's nationalguard.com/Minnesota.
Just get a hold of one of your NCO recruiters and sit down and have a chat.
And that's where it starts.
All right, sir. I understand that you had an opportunity that involved your son. What was that?
I did. You know, as a military family of 29 years, there's no doubt that the military has been part of both my kids' lives. Antonio is no exception. And so, you know, I had a vision long ago that'd be neat someday maybe swear my own son in. And so last December 7th, that came true. I'd actually had tried to sell him on the active duty experience because that's where I started my career. But interestingly enough, my recruiters did their job. You know, they actually called my house not knowing they were calling the battalion commander's son's house, which is really funny. However, in the end, Antonio sat down with the recruiter, and the recruiter was able to articulate and basically sell the National Guard experience, and my son was able to come home and tell me exactly why the National Guard was a better fit for him. So I'm just so proud of him. And I'm looking forward to a great future for him as well.
And what job specialty did he choose?
He'll be a 19 Dell. He'll be a CAV scout, and he ships off to basic training on the 1st of August this year.
And he's excited.
He's very excited.
Well, very good, sir. We've just got a few seconds left, Colonel. For all our listeners out there, you've had a great career so far, and you've got more to do. What would you have to say to them if they were considering a career in the Minnesota Army National Guard?
Well, I would say this. If you have any doubts or questions about whether it's right for you, you're not alone. I think it's pretty common that most students who are approached with an idea of joining the military probably haven't given a real serious thought. I think the rare exception is of folks who know the military and know it from the onset. So I would say take an opportunity, reach out to one of the recruiters, and just sit down and have a conversation and find out exactly what it's all about. Because you don't know what you're saying no to, you understand what the experience is all about, and you might find yourself there's something in it for you.
Very good, sir. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Lieutenant Colonel Ed Suarez, the commander of the Minnesota Army National Guard's Recruiting and Retention Battalion. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to learn about Minnesota's Purple Heart recipients and Veterans Day on the Hill. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn about the Minnesota's Purple Heart recipients and Veterans Day on the Hill. But first, it's time for Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
I am pleased to share with you that this year's Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs annual report is complete and available to view at minnesotaveteran.org. As you look through this report, you will see examples of our progress. In state government, the annual report is an important tool to tell the agency's story and generate support. I am very proud of the work our agency has done and continues to do. Our annual report gives us the opportunity to highlight our work, reassure our stakeholders, share a year's worth of success, and look to the future. Check it out today at minnesotaveteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Though one of the nation's smallest veteran service organizations, the Military Order of the Purple Heart lends some of the greatest strength to the veterans community. The Order of the Purple Heart is the nation's oldest military decoration, begun on August 7, 1782 by General George Washington as the Badge of Military Merit. Revived under General MacArthur from 1931 to 32, the Purple Heart is granted to soldiers wounded or killed by an enemy of the United States while in the line of duty. Since then, it has been granted to over 1.9 million active and former service members who have sacrificed and some who gave everything in service to their country. And joining me today to talk about the Military Order of the Purple Heart is their Minnesota Commander, Willie Pargo. Commander, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you much, Tom.
Commander, some of our listeners might not remember the last time we talked. Can you tell us, when did you serve in the military?
I served in the Marine Corps between 66 and 69.
And that means that if you're a member of the Purple Heart, you were wounded and it had to be in Vietnam.
I was in Vietnam, all right. I was in the Marble Mountain area just south of Da Nang when I was wounded, July 17, 1967.
And you'll always remember that date.
Yes.
And were you in the hospital for a while after that?
I was on the USS Repulse hospital ship for 30 days. And a significant event of that, my stay in the hospital ship, was the USS Forrestal had a fire on it. And I was part of that contingent that brought the casualties off the Forrestal to the Repulse. From there, we steamed to Singapore, Malaysia, because it was the closest friendly country with a morgue big enough to handle that many casualties.
So you were actually being treated as a patient, and then the Forrestal happened, and you had to jump back into service and help.
Well, yes, we did. Anybody that was mobile on the Repulse was called back to duty to do something to help with the casualties coming off the Forrestal.
And Willie, when did they actually give you the medal as a recipient of the Military Order of the Purple Heart?
I got my medal the following day, the 18th of July. I was still in the NSA Naval Aid Station there in Da Nang before they transported me to the Repulse. General Cushman presented the medal to me.
And you'll remember that day, too.
I remember.
Probably hadn't been a general officer for a while before that.
True.
So, Willie, when did you get out of the service then?
I got out April 19th, 1969.
And came back to Minnesota at that time?
No, I went back to Des Moines, Iowa, and I stayed there until I came to Minnesota to go to college.
Okay, and then how long did it take you before you got involved with the Military Order of the Purple Heart?
About 18 years.
So, and you've been involved with it for a long time now?
Yeah.
So tell us about the Military Order of the Purple Heart in Minnesota. How many members do you have?
In Minnesota, we got about 1,400 members that's registered. I'd estimate we got probably another 2,000 that's unregistered out there that we're trying to bring into the fold.
And do you have periodic meetings with your members?
We meet basically 10 months out of the year, once a month, and we take off the August, July and August, during the summer.
And where do you meet, Willie?
My particular chapter meets in Richfield at the 5555 VFW.
The 4-5s, the VFW over in Richfield.
Yes.
And what day of the week? And
it's third Saturday of each month.
Third Thursday of every month.
Third Saturday.
Oh, Saturday.
Yeah.
So you're weekenders.
Yes.
All right. What time does that happen?
10:30.
10:30 in the morning. So anybody that wants to come out and visit could come out and join you. But what you're really trying to do is find those other Purple Heart recipients that haven't joined your organization.
That's true. We're trying to find them, and we basically offer them the membership at a price they can't refuse if they're interested.
All right. Now, we talked about this once before.
Yes.
I had some feedback. People didn't believe it. So if I was a member of the military and I was wounded in action and I wanted to join the Minnesota chapter of the military Order of the Purple Heart, what's it cost me?
It's free.
It's free?
It's free. Yep.
How do you keep the organization together if your dues are zero, Willie?
Well, we're the smallest organization, so we have to give an incentive for new members to come in. So each chapter, the Department of Minnesota picks up the tab for a new recruit.
Well, that's pretty nice. And tell us about when you have your meetings, what type of things do your members do? What do you participate in? How do you give back to the community?
We give back in a number of ways. We have veterans that's in need. We also, twice a year, we substitute the main meal at the VA hospital. All the patients in the hospital on Veterans Day and Valentine's Day, we substitute the main meal with prime rib.
Prime rib?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good job.
So we do that twice a year at the VA hospital there.
So you must have some fundraisers during the year so that you have some money to do these things.
Yes. We have a viola. It's a little paper flower that's called a viola. And we normally have a viola drive 4 or 5 times a year during the summer. And Cubs, Lunds, and Barley stores, we solicit donations. And this money is used to help veterans.
And you put the money to good use. We're talking to Willie Pargo, the commander of the Minnesota chapter of the Military Order of the Purple Heart on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Willie, I understand that you have some national service officers in Minnesota as well.
Yes, we do.
And what do they do?
Well, they're basically they recruit and they also file claims for the veterans that's in need. The claims that are needed from different wounds and things that happen to them.
So if we've got a veteran that was wounded and is eligible to be a member of the military Order of the Purple Heart, they can file a claim for a medical disability with their veteran or their local county veteran service officer. But you at the Military Order of the Purple Heart have some advocates, national service officers, that can help advocate for that claim.
Yes. A veteran service officer writes up the claim, but national service officer is the one that advocates for the claim itself.
Okay, and so are those national service officers out by the VA?
Our national service officers at the Whipple Building.
The Whipple Building,
yeah,
out by the
VA,
Minneapolis,
yeah,
VA Hospital. And
yeah,
I know that you spend a bunch of time out at the Minneapolis VA Hospital. Are you being a patient, or what are you doing out there?
I volunteer out there. I volunteer out there 5 days a week.
Okay, and the last time we had someone on from the Minneapolis VA Hospital, they told me that they were just opening up another super clinic up on the fourth floor, and they're taking that first floor clinics and they're going to remodel that and make new offices for all the veteran service organizations.
Yes, I think we're in the process of opening up 3 new super clinics, and the first floor will be the veteran service row, I guess, is kind of the way of putting it, because we'll all be in the same area.
So you have VFW, American Legion, DAV, Purple Hearts. They'll all be up to all on the first floor, readily available to any people that come to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center.
Yes. As soon as you come in the main entry, we'll be right to the right there. And that's where all the service organization will be.
Willie, we have to take a short break, but as commander of the Military Order of the Purple Heart here in Minnesota, you also sit on a board called the Commander's Task Force, and you got a big event coming up called Veterans Day on the Hill. And when we come back, I want to talk about Veterans Day on the Hill and let all of our listeners know that that's coming up on March 12th. Now, this is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Willie Pargo, who is the commander of the Military Order of the Purple Heart here in Minnesota. And as we talked in the first segment, if you're a Purple Heart recipient and you don't belong to that organization, all you have to do is go to militaryorderofthepurpleheartmn.org. And Willie promises me that the tuition or the fees are free. You can join for nothing, and you can add your voice to all the members of the Military Order of the Purple Heart when they go up on Capitol Hill to talk to our state legislators about various veterans' priorities. And, Willie, you're a member of what's called the Commander's Task Force, which is made up of the nine federally chartered veteran service organizations such as the VFW, American Legion, DAV, Purple Hearts, and there's more. And you get together on a monthly basis, and you spend a lot of the year trying to figure out what the legislative priorities would be that you want to take up to the Hill.
Yes, we do.
And it's my understanding that you've got a list of those for this year.
Yes.
And you're going to be able to share that with our veterans. But the key date is there's an event called Veterans Day on the Hill that's coming up on March 12th.
Yes, it is.
What happens up there?
Well, We assemble on the hill at the rotunda, and listen to the lawmakers and stuff. We have appropriated rooms throughout the Capitol complex there for different areas to meet with their lawmakers and voice their opinion.
So this is going to be on March 12th, Veterans Day on the Hill. We'd like to have as many veterans as possible come up and participate in this. There's going to be a free pre-rally breakfast and information session from 8 to 10 on the fifth floor of the Veterans Service Building. There's going to be a rally at the Rotunda from 10 to 11, and that's where you want to have as many veterans packed in there as possible to get the attention of our elected officials. And then you're going to break them out into regional rooms for lawmakers from 12 to 2, and what that means is if your legislators are from northern Minnesota, there'll be a room for you to go to so you can talk to the people that service your area. Correct, Willie?
Yes, correct.
So once again, this is going to be at the Minnesota State Capitol Rotunda on March 12th. It's called Veterans Day on the Hill. And Willie, are you going to get all your membership up there?
Well, we're doing our best. And since this parking is a barrier on that hill, we have appropriated area buses to bring people in from different areas.
So you're going to have buses bringing people across Greater Minnesota?
Yes, Greater Minnesota and the metro area.
And do you know where the buses are going to start from?
Well, the metro, we start in Osseo at the American Legion, Bloomington at the VFW, Anoka American Legion, and Roseville VFW. The Greater Minnesota, we got Preston, Zamboni, and Rochester. South Central Bus is Springfield, New Ulm, Mankato, and St. Peter's. Northeast Bus is Duluth, Cloquet, and Avo. Atkins Bus Area and Montevideo. Bemidji Bus Area and Crookston. So we have buses coming out of all those areas, mainly the VFW. And if you do not have a bus coming out of your area and you would like to get one coming, you can call Trent at DAV, you can get in touch with Trent at DAV.org or call this number 651-291-1212.
So for all our listeners out there, if you go to minnesotaveteran.org, you'll see a link to click on and it'll show you where the buses are running from, show you all the information about Veterans Day on the Hill. And as Willie said, if you don't have a bus coming from your area of the state and you've got a group of people that want one, then all you have to do is get a hold of DAV of MN, davmn.org, the DAV of Minnesota, and they'll help you try to arrange for that.
Yes, it will.
So once again, Willie, tell us about it. It's Veterans Day on the Hill.
And
March 12th.
March 12th. We have area rooms set up for lawmakers to see the constituents, and we have buses to bring you to and from to alleviate that traffic jam on the hill that day.
And you can find information about parking and buses at davmn.org. You can also find that at minnesotaveteran.org. And once again, it's March 12th, Veterans Day on the Hill. There's a pre-rally breakfast and info from 8 to 10 on the fifth floor of the Veterans Service Building. Rally at the Rotunda from 10 to 11, and that's where we want you to, all the veterans, show up, wear your caps, come on in there and meet your legislators. And then the legislators are actually divided into regional rooms from 12 to 2, where you can go in there and you can have a visit with your legislator. And if you've got something else you want to talk about, they'll set appointments and take care of you.
Yes, we will.
So more information on that at minnesotaveteran.org or davmn.org. And Willie, I expect we're going to see a lot of your Purple Heart members up there wearing those purple shirts.
We've been soliciting very strongly to get all of them out.
Well, I hope you have a great day, Veterans Day on the Hill, March 12th, Willie.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us.
Okay.
As Willie Pargo, the commander of the Military Order of the Purple Heart on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonard. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Tim, here we are in kind of the dead of winter. It's February.
It is.
So I'm guessing that your motor scooter is locked up for a while.
Well, they're sitting in the garage just waiting.
You got her all shined up and ready to go for the spring?
Well, I don't know about shined up yet, but it's ready.
And it's on your to-do list.
It's on my to-do list.
Okay, well, we're here to talk today about the Minnesota Patriot Guard. And you go to missions all year long, doesn't matter, rain, snow, summer, winter, fall, you go.
We do.
And you've got riders all over Minnesota.
We do. There's about 5,000 riders across Minnesota, and they're wanting to honor our fallen soldiers.
And you're always looking for more people to join. They don't have to be Vietnam veterans. They don't have to be guys. They don't have to have a motor scooter.
That's true.
So what do they need? They need a good heart?
Good heart, 3x5 flag, and just be self-sufficient when you come out to a mission.
And how do they sign up to become a Patriot Guard rider?
If you go to our website, which is mnpatriotguard.org, and on the left side, it says join us, and all it does is put you on an email list and send you information about what missions are coming up, and you can pick and choose whatever you want. There's a calendar there for you to look at.
And then you send out once a week, I think I see them, notices of here's what's coming up, whether it's a mission for someone who's died, or if it's a deployment or welcome home, or if it's an event at a VA home.
Yes. Yep, and everybody is welcome. We just love to have people come in and show honor to our veterans.
So all the riders have to do is show up and find the ride captain.
That's right, and the ride captain will point you the direction and ask you where to, or tell you where to stand, and give you pointers on what to do, and it's just an honor to be there.
Now, Tim, we've talked about this before because I've lost a couple of family members since we've been on the radio the last 8 years, and the Minnesota Patriot Guard riders came out to the church and did some things, and it's just fantastic. I don't have the right words to tell people how wonderful it was to see the riders there honoring the veterans who died. But we haven't talked about this much. If a family has a veteran who's died and they like to invite the Patriot Guard out, how do they do that? You guys just don't just come because you don't go unless you're invited.
Yep, we only show up if we're invited, and we'd love to be invited. It's a fairly easy process. Just go to our website, mnpatriotguard.org, and on the left side it says invite us, and just go in there and fill out the little form and somebody will get back to you.
So as soon as you know what the dates are, just go to the website, fill out the form, invite them, you'll contact them, and all the rest of it you'll take care of.
Yep, and we've done missions 48 hours in notice, and even shorter than that. It depends on what we can do.
So you send a blast out all over the state and say, we've got a veteran who died, and here's the details, and whoever can show up, and they always do, don't they?
Oh, they always do.
And what's it about, Tim?
It's honor, dignity, and respect for our heroes.
Our veterans, those who have served and risked their life for our country.
Yep.
And it's also about when there's been deployments upon deployments since September of 2001. And you guys have been to serving our troops events. You've ridden over to Wisconsin along with them, and you're there in the middle of the night, sometimes 3 o'clock in the morning, with your flags just to say goodbye, have a good trip, and we'll be here when you come back.
Yes. Yep. And we just just love to be there when you come back. That's the greatest thing you could ever just feel.
So, once again, anybody that wants to sign up, all they have to do is go to your website.
Yes, mnpatriotguard.org.
And you're welcome them all, and doesn't matter what age or men, women, everybody's welcome.
Yep.
And it's you've been doing this for how many years now?
It started in 2006.
So. Tim, I'd bet if I asked you, you probably get more out of this than you put in.
Well, you do. You know, your heart is so filled when you're done with a mission. It's just an honor to be there.
And you've got lots and lots of friends that are Patriot Guard riders that have gone again and again and again. And you're like the mailman. Winter, summer, snow, rain, doesn't matter. Yep. You'll be there.
That's right. The only thing I make them put away is their flags when it's lightning out.
Well, that'd be good. Let's not get anybody hurt while we're out there, Tim. Well, Tim, it's been a pleasure visiting with you, and we'd like to have you on, and like to personally thank all of the Patriot Guard riders for all they've done to honor our veterans, especially on their final missions.
It's an honor for us to be there.
Tim, thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Please join us next week as we talk about one of Minnesota's well-known yellow ribbon countries and easy online health care from the Minneapolis VA. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at minnesotamilitaryradio.com.